Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun, too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from The Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
George Norrie with you, Cody Cassidy with us, How to Survive History. Cody, tell us about the book, How to Survive History. How long did it take you to work on it?
This took a couple years. It was quite a lot of research. On a lot of the disasters I picked, I wanted to delve deep into them. My background is a science writer, so I like understanding why the volcano at Pompeii was so destructive, or the asteroid at Chicxulub, what it did to the dinosaurs, and exactly the sort of mechanics behind it. And that involved a lot of research and speaking with the experts. And then on top of that, I had to figure out how to get out of these disasters, which usually the best way of doing that was talking to the archaeologists at Pompeii and just sort of asking them, which direction would you run if you were there? And then sort of recording their answers and asking them why. So it did take quite a lot of work.
The Titanic went down 1912, its maiden voyage. How could people have avoided that tragedy other than not go on the ship?
Well, even if you were in third class, you would have time to escape. The Titanic sort of famously, as we all know from the movie, took quite a long time to sink, and it was very graceful as it did it. So you would have a bit of, even if you were in third class, you would have time. And so I would suggest that you would change into your finest clothing first when you first hit the iceberg, because the lifeboats were on the first class deck, and so your best chance is to sort of get invited to that exclusive floor, and it would be best good idea to look the part. And then we can sort of see from the passenger manifest of the life raft that if you're on the left side, if you're a man, you should go over there, because there was sort of this policy on the Titanic where women and children were loaded preferentially, but we can see that sort of one side of the boat followed that a little bit more strictly than the other. So it would sort of depend on who you were, exactly where you should go. But even if you didn't make the life raft, which is a possibility, they only had space for about a third of their passengers, you could swim probably to, well, it, maybe, depending.
Maybe.
The lifeboats are about 500 yards away, and the water was about 27 degrees. So in that temperature, you have about 15 minutes before your arms and legs become too numb to swim. So the world's best ice swimmers can do 500 yards in 7 minutes. So 15 minutes is a tough ask, but it is possible.
The Titanic, of course, was hailed as one of the best ships ever, unsinkable and everything else. It smashed into. How big was that iceberg?
Massive, yeah. The Titanic was almost 800 feet long, and it was the iceberg actually weighed more than the Titanic, and the Titanic actually barely scraped it. It really only scraped the front right side of, for about 300 feet of the ship, the Titanic almost stayed afloat. They put bulwarks, these walls within the ship to prevent water from flooding the whole deck or the whole hull if one hole appeared, and it could float if it didn't punch holes into four of them, and it punched holes behind five. So that's why it actually sunk so slowly and almost didn't sink. If they had made the walls on these bulkheads a little bit higher, it actually would have floated. And for Titanic's sister ship, they did remodel it so that the walls were higher. And had they done that with Titanic, it actually would have floated long enough to at least be rescued.
That movie put Leonardo DiCaprio on the map, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. And there were some people who survived in the water, but none that survived on doors. There was one overturned life raft. So there is no door to find like they do in Titanic, like Leonardo fails to do. But there are, if you don't want to make the swim, you can sort of maybe wrestle for a spot on an overturned life raft. And a few people did survive on those.
Cody, had you been offered an opportunity to take that submersible down to see the Titanic, albeit $250,000 a seat, but let's say they invited you to go as a journalist, would you have gone?
I would not have. Maybe I would have been curious but I saw a sort of a TV program recently on what that sub looked like on the inside, and it looks sort of like a soda can.
It's kind of claustrophobic.
It looks very claustrophobic to me, and at least according to this program, it was controlled by a very old video game controller. So that might have given me a bit of pause. I wouldn't love it regardless, but I definitely wouldn't have liked being in there in that small ship. Although I will. I haven't seen the surface. That submersible was named the Titan, which is a very interesting name, because one of the sort of famous coincidences of all time is that about 15 years before the Titanic sank, an author wrote a book about an unsinkable ship hitting an iceberg right where the Titanic did, and he called that ship the Titan. The book is called The Wreck of the Titan. So I have to assume that the owner of the submersible knew that story, and that's why he named it's submersible that, but it's an odd choice, because the point of The Wreck of the Titan is that it's sort of man's folly to believe that a ship would be unsinkable. So it's an odd choice.
With that submersible, I'm not seeing many reports on why they think it lost communications an hour and 45 minutes into the dive.
I haven't either. I think the best guess is that it somehow lost power, but it should have still been able to. If it had just been lost power, there's many backup systems to enable it to rise. A lot of these submersibles actually are designed so that if they do lose power, they automatically rise.
Float right back up.
Right.
Yeah, there's something. One of a couple things has happened, in my opinion. One, it has crushed and blown up or something like that, where there's nothing to rise right now. Right. Or in this particular case, they got stuck somewhere. You know, maybe they're trapped in part of the wreckage of the Titanic and it can't go up. It's hitting something.
Yeah, that's, for me at least, the scariest scenario. That would be terrifying if I were down there.
But even that, they should still have had communication. So that, I mean, this could have been a full-blown catastrophic event here.
Yeah, that to me that makes the most sense. Or if there's a possibility, too, that they did rise, that they've lost communication and are now just sort of floating.
Oh, but they've got so many planes out there in the area. You would think somebody would spot them.
You would think, or that they had some way of tracking it. I don't know why it did not have that system. I don't know.
And they're hearing these bangs and clangs every 30 minutes so far, which tells you that it's timed by a human.
Yeah, I haven't. That's what I've heard, that they're sort of suspecting that there's noises going on. I don't. That's sort of a terrifying thought. So perhaps they are just stuck down there.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If
you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having pink lady apple, berry lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
What's even sadder is even if they find them, they're running out of time to get them to the top.
Yeah, I think there's only a few, there's certainly no humans that could, there's only a few ships in the world that it can get down there, and I don't think they could get there in time. So I think I read that the best hope is to maybe have one of these robots sort of loop a cable around them and haul them up, but that's a quite a long cable even, so a lot of logistical difficulties.
Crazy. It really is. They should have had backup systems for identification and buoys and all this other stuff.
Yeah, they took enough safety precautions.
We're going to take calls with Cody Cassidy next hour. You talked up a little bit about the 1906 earthquake in San Francisco. How could people have prepared for that?
Well, the first step would be San Francisco is, a lot of it has been built on what amounts to sort of pioneer trash and infill on the lowlands. The city sort of creeped into the bay as we needed more space for the people hunting for gold in the gold rush. And that is a particularly bad place to be during an earthquake because that sort of soil liquefies and behaves sort of like water when the earthquake rolled through. So the first step is to not be on San Francisco's lowlands. But that was really only the beginning because the earthquake severed basically every gas and water main in the city. So 50 fires plus broke out across the city, and there was not a drop to put them out. So the fire department, the only way that they tried to put it out was to sort of detonate buildings along roads to try to build a big fire line. But that actually just made problems worse by spreading the fire. And so 3/4 of the city was eventually destroyed. And so really the only way, or the best way I would suggest to get out is to make it to the water. And there was sort of a Dunkirk-like evacuation. Basically, every boat in the bay came to San Francisco and helped sail people away because there were no bridges at that time. So that's what I would suggest, to get to the water as quickly as possible.
How devastating was that 1906 earthquake?
Oh, it was. I mean, it's still like the record for, at least adjusted for inflation, for the most financial damage a city has suffered in a disaster. It was 3/4 of the city basically was burned. There was almost nothing left, and that had to be rebuilt. And so the earthquake was really only the beginning of the disaster, and we actually don't really even know how many people died because records were so poor back then, anyways. But then City Hall also burned down, and all the records of people who were living here were gone. So it's sort of a pretty inaccurate, but certainly quite high number of fatalities.
The Black Death that hit Europe, your take on that?
Yeah. Some people call this the greatest catastrophe to ever befall mankind. When it hit London, it's almost unimaginable, but in 18 months, 40% of the city of London died. This is 100,000 people were living in London at the time, died in just 18 months. So it's really an absolutely unimaginable catastrophe. But if you were there, you shouldn't actually leave London because it was actually even worse in the rural areas, because the plague was spread by fleas, which were riding on rats. And so it was, these rural farms actually had, because they had more rats and fewer people, when the rats were killed by the plague, the fleas would jump onto the very few people there. So if you were one of them, the odds that an infected flea would get you were actually higher. So it's better to stay as bad as it is in London or any big European city at this time. It would be better to stay there. And you shouldn't the final point is not to get a cat either or a rat trap, because that's what I thought initially, that you would try to kill all the rats around you. But it turns out that a dead rat is actually even more dangerous, because that means its fleas have to jump onto you, perhaps, if you're nearby. So stay in the city and don't get a cat.
How did this disease wane or fall apart? What happened to it?
It basically just infected and either killed or immunized everybody in the city, and maybe even more importantly, every rat in the city,
died off on its own.
Yeah, there was just not enough people left to infect. It's sort of a herd immunity. The plague has a 60% fatality rate, and so once 40% of the city died, that means basically everybody in the city caught it. And once you've caught it, you're either immune or dead. So the eventually the plague had no more people who were affected, but it died back. But that doesn't mean it died permanently. It sort of just retreated and actually kept coming back in waves every generation or so for hundreds of years. So it's really just a temporary relief.
And what has happened to it now?
Well, now antibacterials can kill the plague or can rescue you if you take them in time. And they didn't, of course, have penicillin back then. But they still are breakouts. And usually they happen after bad droughts, when a lot of the rat population, or they're in rodents generally, the rodent population dies. And so this sends a lot of fleas looking for new hosts. So, but if you take penicillin in time, it should be okay.
Of every catastrophe you've written about in your book, How to Survive History, which would you say is the single worst one?
Well, I wrote about the asteroid that killed the dinosaurs. This is 66.5 million years ago, and this is the only one in which I spoke to a lot of experts that only one of them said maybe a human had a chance to survive. So this would be pretty unlikely. It's an absolutely spectacular event. It was a rock 6 miles wide that hit Earth traveling 10 miles per second.
It would have gotten all of us.
Yeah, I mean, basically, no mammal larger than a raccoon survived the impact, and really the only dinosaurs that did were some ground nesting birds. So, even though it hit in the Yucatan, it killed almost the entire Western Hemisphere, because the impact was like 100 million times largest nuclear weapon ever detonated. So it was 1,000-foot tsunamis, sort of rain of fire. All the earth that it lifted up came falling back to Earth and as fire, and then it eventually coated the stratosphere in this oil, basically this vaporized oil that blocked out the sun for about 10 years. So it was a global freeze. It was a spectacular and very devastating event.
Some say that by wiping out the dinosaurs, it made way for humans. What do you think of that?
Yeah, that's certainly true. I think dinosaurs had been doing quite well for quite a long period of time, much longer than the humans have been around. So by killing them off, I think it paved the way for mammals. As small as we were, even some mammals did survive, and that paved the way for us, I think, absolutely.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro? Amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feelin' Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.